On now? Yeah, there it is. I've got to tell you, this message comes with a warning. A warning. Not a morning. A warning. Are you ready? A smile warning. I have to smile throughout this whole sermon. So I'm going to keep it locked right like that, okay? Because you know what they say? A little bit of sugar helps the medicine go down, right? Okay. So I gave you that little bit of warning. Hey, tonight at 7 o'clock, do you see that yellow ribbon tied around the old oak tree? You remember that song? Well, you know, that's a sign that says, Lord, you're welcome here. We want you to come back. We want you to return to our lives, our homes, our children, our marriages. And that's where we'll kick off tonight. I mean, this isn't going to be a soft service. I just want you to know that. And I got to tell you as well, Leon Timbo is ministering in Chicago this morning. And he called and he said, can I come to church tonight? I said, brother, you're welcome. So he's going to try to make it, leave the service in Chicago and drive straight here because he wanted to be with you guys. He said, tell those people over at Valley View, I love the way they worship. So I'm going to come and join them tonight. And I don't know what time he'll get here, but isn't that exciting to know that he's coming as well? Woo! So 7 o'clock, hope you can make it. And we'll be sensitive to the schedule with schools and all that. And by the way, let me say this. We are going to move Wednesday night into the realm of what I call the hour of power. Okay? So we'll be in here at 7 and we'll be dismissed by 8:10. So it's not quite the hour of power. No, well, I'll try to make it right at 8 o'clock. But I'm opening up this week with my Christian Home series. And I'm going to introduce you to a concept this Wednesday night that really, if initiated, you can see change literally take place in your family, in your home, immediately. And I'm excited about it. I've been studying it this week and over the summer preparing. So, okay, back to this message. I got to get my smile on, okay? So let me keep my smile. Let's go to the book of Acts this morning, chapter 3 and verse 14. Do you love the Word? I want you to know the Word loves you. That's right. The Word loves you. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And it dwelt among us. It became flesh. Jesus loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And it's the Word of God that is so powerful in our lives. And look what Acts chapter 3 verse 14 introduced us to Jesus. Let's read it together. Ready? But you denied the Holy One. Now, what was happening here, obviously, was the testimony of them asking for Barabbas over Jesus. But notice what the scripture calls or refers to Jesus as. It refers to Jesus as the Holy One. And that's really important for us to understand that he is the Holy One. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now, immediately, when you read those kinds of scriptures and you talk about holiness in the church, people get a little bit nervous. Sometimes they even get confused. They think holiness is on the exterior, things of what you wear and how you look or how you speak. Or holiness is your affiliation or your associations or the organization that you may be involved with or even a name above the church door. But that's not really the case at all. We find a definition of the word holy as being real definitive of this whole understanding. And I want to give it to you this morning. If you can put it up on the screens, it simply says this. Holy means to be separated from the ordinary and the profane. It also means this. It implies a connection to God and the divine sphere. That's why in the morning when you wake up and you're facing a lot of challenges, maybe there's some kind of imposing agenda of whether it's finances or whether it's relationships or whether it's own difficulties that you've experienced. You have to make a confession of your faith, a declaration around you. And that's what I like to do all the time because I find myself in battle most of my life. I can't count that many days where I've had much reprieve. It seems like the enemy backs off one day and I think, hallelujah, it's over. And the next day it's back. And I have to get my armor back on again. How many know what I'm talking about? It's a constant fight. Paul said, I fight the good fight of faith. So there are many times I've got to look in the mirror and tell myself, because the kingdom of God is reality. It's simply this, separation from the ordinary. And I want you to know today, there's nothing ordinary about you. You are extraordinary. I'm not ordinary. You're not ordinary. This isn't an ordinary church. It's not an ordinary worship service. It's not an ordinary returning service tonight at 7 p.m. Everything is extraordinary. We don't fall into the statisticians' numbers in regards to how many divorces are in the church or in outside the church, how many problems we have outside the church that are inside the church. You know, so many say we mirror our society's breakdown of moral failures and all those things. Well, that may be true for some people, but I've recognized that because I have chosen to be holy, that if you could put my definition back up there and just leave it there for a moment, I'd appreciate it. The fact is that I have separated myself from the ordinary family life in America. I have separated myself from the ordinary statistics of divorce that break down nearly 50% of everyone. I have separated myself from the economics that may affect every other household. But you see, I'm not an ordinary household. I've recognized that God has made me extraordinary, that I walk in a level and a realm that has been set apart from the mundane and the usual and the ordinary of this world. And until you can get that mentality and recognize that you are holy, separated from God, separated from this world unto God, you sometimes will let your guard down and allow these things to impact you and to just think, well, that's just the way life is. Well, that may be the way life is for the ordinary person, but for the extraordinary person, I'm sorry, that's just not the God kind of life. Because notice the next part of that definition. It implies a connection to God. Holiness is a connection to God. So I cannot be connected to poverty. I cannot be connected to disease. I cannot be connected to depression. I cannot be connected to trouble. I cannot be connected. See, when these things try to connect themselves to me, they have illegally attached themselves to my life. And I have to stand my ground and declare that I am holy only because God is holy. I can do nothing in myself to make myself holy, but my association with the Holy One has now made me holy. I love this scripture in Exodus chapter 3. Moses was out and about tending his flocks in the backside of the desert for years. He had gone by that bush many, many times, but this day it was burning. He stopped to take a look, and he walked near the bush, and he heard a voice come out of the flame. And the voice simply said this, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you stand is holy." Now, if I was Moses, I would ask the question, what makes this ground holy? Is it the fire in the bush? What is it, oh God? Because last week, I just stopped over here at this bush and refreshed myself with a sandwich and something to drink as I was tending my flock. It was just ordinary ground during that time. And God would respond and simply say this, it's not the ground that makes you holy. It's not the bush that makes you holy. It's not even the fire that's not consuming the bush that makes you holy. It's the fact that I am present. And because I am holy, the ground where you stand now is holy. Do you understand something about your life and my life? It's not our own righteousness. It's not the fact that I can do anything to make myself holy or separate unto God. It's the fact that I have received Jesus Christ, the Holy One, as my Savior, and He now, by my association with Him, has made me separated from the ordinary and the profane, and He has introduced me into a sphere called divine life, or the kingdom of God. When we develop this kind of mentality about true holiness, it changes the way we face our day. It helps us understand that we are the head and not the tail, that we can do battle and succeed. There's not a fight that you cannot win, that every situation in your life is under your feet. Ultimately, you will win the victory because of who God is in your life. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's a great story in the book of Mark. I love reading this story, and I believe it speaks of God's visitation to this generation. I believe that the Holy Spirit is trying to visit a generation. And often when we say that, we relegate it to 18 to 29 year olds, or we say among our youth, God wants to visit. But let me tell you something, there are a lot of disconnected, disenchanted 29 to 79-year-olds as well. You know how many people I have come to me? Many of you have come to me and said, this is my last chance, church. I've been there and I've done that and I'm tired of church. Because I went there looking for Jesus and I found everything else but. They were debating and they were trying to regulate how the length of the robe should be and what color the collar should be and whether or not we believe in this or believe in that. And every time I got there, I found myself in more bondage than when I had come. You see, Jesus is wanting to come into the house of God today. And let me tell you, when Jesus comes into the house, it changes the atmosphere. Let me read to you this story in Mark chapter 1 and verse 27, or 21 to 27. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit. Imagine that. Somebody in church with a demon. And he cried out, speaking of the demon. Now recognize, Jesus didn't say anything. He hadn't done anything yet. He just walked into the house. And as soon as he walks in, this demon or unclean spirit cries out and says this, leave us alone. What are you bothering us for? Leave us alone. Talk more about that in a minute. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are. Now look at the scripture. Who is he? What did the demon say? You are the what? The Holy. I don't quite understand how it is that demons know who Jesus is and half the church are confused. What happened? How have we been so confused about Jesus? He's the Holy One. In other words, he is the one that introduces you to an extraordinary life that separates you from the profane of the ordinary life and introduces you and me into a sphere of the divine kingdom of God. Whew! Let me meet this Jesus. Oh, let me keep reading. Jesus rebuked him and said, be quiet and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him, he cried out with a loud voice, and he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? Isn't that interesting? Freedom, extraordinary living, walking in the divine destiny of God, living the abundant life like Jesus came to give, being able to defeat the devil and destroy his for this purpose, was the Son of God manifest, that he may destroy the works of the evil one. Here Jesus actually comes and initiates that plan, and they're asking, what new doctrine is this? We're used to being ordinary. We're used to being dominated by sin. We're used to being ones that wrangle and debate over issues of religiosity. Who is this guy? Why is he coming in here and turning everything upside down? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Now I'm going to have to get my smile on real big. He entered their synagogue. In other words, their religious organization. He entered their religious mentality. And when he did so, that which was present resisted his entrance and challenged his authority. Now, mind you, there were many synagogues in Israel during this time because the temple had been destroyed. The synagogue was created as a place of instruction and celebration of God and reading of the scriptures. So Jesus could have gone anywhere that day, but he chose this church. He decided to come to Valley View. He decided to join us on the 4th of September. He decided to hang out with us in the pews about 12:58 on September 4th. He came and made an entrance, and as a result, he had to challenge everything that they had stood for religiously. Now understand something about them. They had no clarity of divine will. They had no understanding that they were being controlled by evil. I believe we're living in a time and a season and a generation where we are confused. You'll hear more about this tonight. But you know what we've done? We begin calling evil good and good evil. We have a generation that is so mixed up and so confused about what kingdom life is all about. Jesus has to literally show up and begin to confront the evil that is so comfortable among our pews and pulpits in America and overthrow the ideologies that they are in control when Jesus Christ, hallelujah, is the Lord of all. Amen? He is the Lord of glory. But why? How can this be? 2 Corinthians, Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, chapter 4 and verse 4 tells us how. He said that the God of this world has literally blinded the minds. In other words, those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So there is a blinding. But there's not a blinding about hearing about God. Not a blinding about knowing about God. It's the blinding, if you will, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, that he himself should shine on them. That's why people can go to church all over America today and still have evil resident in their heart, evil resident in their mind, hatred resident in their life, prejudice resident in their life. Why? Praising God, yet still hating their brother. Now watch what happens. He said they blinded their eyes lest they see the glory of Christ or the Holy One of God. What does the Holy One of God do? He separates from the ordinary and the profane, and he introduces us to a dimension of divine sphere. In other words, we walk in the kingdom mentality that gives us the authority to rule and reign with Christ. That's why you can go to church year after year after year and still be defeated, still be depressed, still walk under your circumstances instead of on top of your circumstances, never really fulfilling the purposes of God in our life because we have allowed religiosity to cloak us, to blind us. And while we're doing good, we don't know the Holy One of God. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 16 through 18, Paul's giving an argument. He says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are the ones slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Here's an interesting question. You see, they wanted nothing to do with Jesus. My question is today, why is it we can have church and yet want nothing to do with Jesus? I'm smiling. How is it we can acknowledge God, I'm still smiling, and have nothing to do with his word? How is it we can say we believe in life after death, and we believe in a God, but yet want nothing to do with his word? This was a circumstance when Jesus came in as the Word of the living God, and they said, we want nothing to do with you. Now, here is what's happening as I see it in our country. There are a lot of Christian entrepreneur pastors. You know why? Because there's a market out there for those who don't want the Holy One of God. Oh, they want God, but they just don't want the Holy One of God. They want heaven, they want the blessings, but they don't want to be separated from the ordinary and the profane. Now, I was flipping through the stations the other night, and I saw something very peculiar. I'd never seen the program before. I've heard about it, but this time I actually viewed a few minutes. It's called The Shark Tank. If you've never seen it, various entrepreneurs come before these people that are very financiers, that are very successful business people, multimillionaires, and they present their business opportunity and want them to make an investment. And they make an investment for a percentage of the sales. Well, I just happened to turn it on, And it really meant a lot to me because this past week, we're trying to clean up our old school building, which we've done in the last 4 weeks, and it just looks stellar. It's absolutely beautiful. And Saturday, I was getting an ab workout. I was swabbing the deck. Now, if you've ever not mopped half of a full-size gymnasium basketball court before, and you want to take off an inch or two, you can do it. I lost 4.5 pounds that day. An amazing thing. But what I did, more amazingly, is I scraped up about 50 or less, more, who knows, pieces of gum that were on the gym floor. Now, I don't know why. Well, anyway, so I had to stop the mop, and I had to get out my little scraper and scrape the gum off the floor. Now, that's not the bad part. The bad part was picking it up with my other hand and thinking, whose mouth was this in? That grossed me out, I have to tell you. Now, it didn't gross me out enough to go get gloves. I did it in my bare hands, and afterwards, I kind of took it to the sink and washed it. But as I was watching this show, this gentleman came on, and he was selling a broom. I thought, selling a broom? Well, he understands the market for people like me and you. Oh, you know, when your children are eating macaroni and cheese and they sling it on the floor and you didn't see it until the next day and you go to sweep it and it doesn't move. It's already stuck to the floor. Wouldn't it be great if you had a broom with a little slide handle on it that a scraper comes out of the bristles, just down and a scraper. And you just scrape it, pull it back up, it retracts into the bristles. How many want one right now? Yeah. I was calling the number 1-800-GET-ME-ONE. I really was. Where were you yesterday when I was in this gymnasium? But it was an awesome thing. And so these sharks were saying, I'll give you $70,000 for 20%, you know, blah, blah, blah. We can make multiplied millions. We can sell this for $19.95, but wait, there's more. If you order now, you'll get two brooms, you know, that whole thing. And the Lord spoke to me during that show. And my experience scraping off the gum on the floor. And here's what he said. He said, there are Christian entrepreneur ministers, because they're not pastors. If they're pastors, they wouldn't do this. But Christian entrepreneur ministers who see a market out there. And the market is for soft sell gospel. It's God and world. It's kingdom and profanity. All together at one. In other words, it's a lot of church with a lot less word. We'll dilute the word so that you can come and still be refreshed, but you won't feel the effects of it. We'll mix it so it doesn't mess with your carnality. Woo! So what they did, because they're entrepreneurs, they're opening up churches everywhere, and Christians are finding that when they come into a house where there's too much Jesus, they'll find another place to go to where it's easier to be what I've always been. Now watch, this is in the Bible. I'm smiling. This is in the Bible. Are you ready? Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 24, saying, let us alone. In other words, you have no right to change things. Who do you think you are as a pastor to tell me how to live my life? Who do you think you are? That's your opinion. I don't care what you say. Leave us alone. Did you know this is a leave us alone generation? Leave us alone. I like him, but not enough to marry him, but I want to sleep with him. Leave us alone. Oh, don't make me go there. I'm smiling. I'm going to make this easy. Now, when you have nothing to do with Jesus, you can keep singing and have nothing to do with Jesus. You can keep preaching and have nothing to do with Jesus. You can still have church and have nothing to do with Jesus. And then they ask the question, have you come to destroy us? Now notice the word us. It's a peculiar thing. Have you come to destroy us? when I looked at that, the Holy Spirit said, there's two there. Us is two. I said, well, who's talking? He said, the demon and the man. I said, the demon and the man are talking? See, did you know that demons don't have a voice? They only have a personality. That's what demon can be interpreted in the Greek in the New Testament means personality. So if you have a personality that's evil, it's more than likely you have a demon. Well, don't look at anybody in here this morning. But notice, my face is hurting. But notice what he said. He said, leave us alone. What do we have to do with you? What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? Then he said, I know who you are. Isn't it something that the demon used the voice of the man to say, leave me alone? The demon used the voice of the man to say, what do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Then the demon said, I know who you are, because the man had no clue. You follow me? The man had no clue. He had no clue that when you receive Jesus into your life, ooh, get me happy here this morning, you get separated from the ordinary. Come on, there's nothing ordinary about you. Look at somebody and say, you're not ordinary, you're extraordinary. Woo! Come on. Come on, there's only one of you in Jesus. I have an extraordinary business. I have an extraordinary marriage. I have an extraordinary family. I have an extraordinary church. And by definition of holy, we also see not only am I extraordinary and separated from the profane, but I am connected to God within or to His divine sphere. That's why today economics can't impact me. They may influence me. They may have some effect on me, but they cannot dictate my future. Why? Because I'm not ordinary. I'm not part of the statistics. I'm not part of this world. I live in a divine sphere, and I have to keep saying, if God be for me, who can be against me? I've got to keep saying, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I've been young, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. My God is a good God all the time. So I have to recognize that I live in a different sphere. Let us alone. Let us alone. Was it the presence of Jesus that caused the disturbance? That's why we must invite the Word of God into our services. The Word of God into our lives. Look, I'm a proponent of worship. I love worship. But man, you got to get me some Word. I love singing, but I got to get a Word. Because I know it's the Word that brings the presence of God and will introduce me to the divine sphere of God and separate me from the ordinary and the profane. You see, what do we have to do with you? John wrote this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message that we've heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we've not sinned, We make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Church, it's easy for an unclean spirit to overcome an unholy person. What makes a person holy? What makes you and I a holy person is the same thing that transformed ordinary dirt into extraordinary dirt and introduced Moses into the divine sphere of God when God consumed the bush. I'm persuaded it's not your affiliation, your association with a natural denomination or church body or organization. It's not your dogma, your set of beliefs that necessarily make you holy, how you dress or talk, but it's whether or not the word is near you and even in your mouth. David said this, "I've hidden thy word in my heart, that I may not sin against you." It is the word, God's presence, that is available to you and me that sets us apart as extraordinary people. I may not have a lot going for me in the natural. You can probably outwit me, outsmart me, outrun me. There's a lot of things I'm sure many people can do better than I can. But I've learned something, that when I've got the word of God alive in my heart, it levels the playing field. As a matter of fact, introduces me to being more than a conqueror. That the things that I couldn't do, all of a sudden I find myself doing. The things that I thought I was going to lose, I find myself being blessed by. Those things that were being taken from me, I find being restored to me. Not of myself that I should boast, but recognize that if God is in me and for me, then he is my restorer, he is my redoer, he is the one that renews all things. And see, this is the call, this is the clarion call. It's the return to the king. Ladies and gentlemen, when David was ousted from Jerusalem and Absalom's insurrection, they finally recognized we must call the king back. And as he came, certain individuals came to meet him as he crossed the Jordan. And it so types the church today, the mentalities of whether or not we want a returning king. In the weeks ahead on Sunday nights, I'll be ministering on that returning of David to Jerusalem, which is really symbolic of Jesus returning to the church. When Jesus returns to your homes on Wednesday nights and Thursday nights, when Jesus returns to your life and your marriage and a local ministry, let me tell you something. You go from one level to another level. You leave the natural and get to the supernatural. You go from the ordinary and get to the extraordinary. You find yourselves walking in the divine destiny sphere of God. And there's nothing you and I do about it. It's all by the beautiful grace of God. Whosoever will can come. Whoever thirsts, let him drink. Jesus has had an open invitation to you and to me, to all who are wanting to come. He said, if you're weary, if you're broken, if you're bruised, if you've been rejected, if you've been abandoned, I will introduce you to a divine sphere. I will set you apart and put a mark on you. I will bless you and I will walk with you and I will be in covenant with you. This was the whole prayer of Jesus when he said, Lord, make us one. His presence means the defeat, the destruction, and the demise of every demon spirit. See, I believe today that we're going to have to see evil spirits escorted out of the church. I really do. But it'll only come by the reception of the word of God. There ought to never be tolerance for the things that the church has tolerated. I don't have time to underscore and underline and point out those things. But what travesty we have caused in the name of God the things we have done. Not only to him, but to one another. How we have justified ourselves in a religious mentality because we have forsaken the word of God. You see, when he shows up in our lives, we become holy. We're getting ready. If I can ask those assisting us to pass out the communion elements. We're getting ready to embrace once again the table of the Lord. In church, this isn't a religious practice. This is an interfacing with the holy God. To recognize that he wants to be near us. James said it this way, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I want to speak over our lives today that you are set apart for the extraordinary. That you have no profane thing attached to your life. Because where God is, it cannot be. I also want to say this. You are going to walk in a divine sphere of kingdom life that you've not known up to this point. As you hold that cup in your hand and you take that bread and hold it in your other hand, I want you to understand the significance of God's presence. For without him, we are undone. I've written a little prayer that I'd like for us to pray together. I know we don't normally read prayers. We normally pray spontaneously. But I think this prayer is significant in the fact that it depicts all that we talked about today. If you would, just read it with me as we're receiving the elements this morning. Oh Lord, my heart is overwhelmed. I cannot for one minute take lightly the mystery that you welcome me. That within the veil of your awesome holiness, you've made a place for my soul to dwell. How unholy my heart is to ever turn to lesser things. Allow the blood of Christ to cover me. Cleanse me. Sweep me into your presence until my life resonates with the purity of your beauty. You know that song, Oh Lord. I don't know the words, but when
your eyes are on this child,
what a powerful song.
Your grace abounds to me.
Come on, let's sing and worship him. Prayer back on the screen. I want us to just pray it one more time and allow the Holy Spirit to just really resonate that truth down in our hearts. Oh Lord, you're just beautiful. And I thank you that just ordinary dirt like me became holy ground because you chose to stand here. Whew, that gives me cold chills. Think about it as we pray it. Come on. Oh Lord, my heart is overwhelmed. I cannot for one minute take lightly the mystery that you welcome me. That within the veil of your awesome holiness, you've made a place for my soul to dwell. How unholy my heart is to ever turn to lesser things. Allow the blood of Christ to cover me, cleanse me, and sweep me into your presence until my life resonates with the purity of your beauty. Father, as we break this bread now, we do so recognizing that your body was broken for us. I love you, and I thank you that you have chosen to dwell with me, and you have made me holy. Let's partake together. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, allow the blood of Christ to cleanse me, wash me, renew me, and make me, oh God, holy. It's not by my own work of righteousness, but it's because you, who knew no sin, became sin for me, that I, who never knew righteousness, would become righteous. I love you. Let's take the cup together. You just close your eyes and worship him and bless him this morning and just glorify God for a few minutes and thank him today that he has come to set us free and to make us extraordinary people. Hallelujah. Come to introduce us to the divine spear of God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Nothing but the blood.
Bowed this morning or afternoon, as you reflect upon your own life and you recognize that good works, social involvement or investment, or your good outweighing your bad doesn't necessarily make you holy. There's no way you could be separated from the profane and the evil or the darkness of this world without allowing the light of Christ and the glory of Christ to shine in your heart. We do that by the reception of Christ as our Savior. Romans tells us that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, we could be saved. And so today you may be sitting here unsure about your future and your eternity with God. That if you were to die today, you don't know whether you'd go to heaven or you'd go to hell. But today the Bible declares that these things were written that you can know that you can have eternal life. For God demonstrated his love toward us that even while we were sinners, he died on the cross. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the sufferings of the cross because he saw this very moment when your head would be bowed and His Spirit would be drawing you to Him. Today, leave the ordinary. Today, leave the profane. Today, walk away from and into now God's divine sphere by receiving Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You say, hey, preacher, that's what I want to do. Would you pray with me? All over this room, nobody really looking around. It's just a personal time between you and God. But you will acknowledge the fact that you need Christ in your life. With an upraised hand, just quickly lift it up and then put it right back down if you need that prayer. Thank you. Thank you. You can put it back down. Anybody else that will say, yeah, that's me. I'm ready to make a change in my life. I'm ready to receive Christ as my Savior. Along with these that have already raised their hand, would you acknowledge the fact that you want to be included in that prayer? Thank you, ma'am. You can put it down. The Holy Spirit is the one that invites us. We have to accept the invitation, you know. Don't neglect such a great salvation today, but come and receive Christ. My last bidding, my last time I can ask, and then I must close the service. You say, Pastor, include me in the prayer. I didn't raise my hand earlier, but I want to be included. Would you do it now? If that's you, thank you, ma'am. Glad I ask again. Appreciate that. Another hand. Thank you. You see, this is what happens, Christians, when you pray. You're making a pathway right into the very presence of God. It's awesome. So I'm going to ask everybody to look up at me for a moment. And in a moment, altar ministers are going to come and stand across the front. One of the statements I'm going to make tonight is we live in an age where the pews are full and the altars are empty. But this morning, I believe this altar is a place of reconciliation. It's where we come to God to receive sacrifice for our sin. An acknowledgement that we need a Savior. So in a moment, I'm going to ask if those of you that raise your hand, maybe you're just recommitting your life to Christ, it's all right to come and pray with us. So right now, as I ask everyone to stand, altar ministers, would you come? Let's all stand, please. Those of you that raise your hand, would you kindly make your way from where you're standing and join one of these loving prayer partners that are standing across the front just for you. Come on. There in the back, sir, come on. Ma'am, would you come? Would you trust me enough to come and pray? Ma'am, come on, would you come? And over there as well. Turn to somebody and say, listen, if you're a little shy about it, I'll go with you. And take them by the hand and say, do you need that prayer? Let's go together. Come on, turn to somebody and ask them. This morning as they're coming, if you need prayer for healing in your body, maybe a direction in your life, maybe God's calling you to be a part of this church, we thank God for your leading that you're here today. Maybe today you're wanting the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. You know, God baptizes fresh and new people in the Holy Spirit to empower our lives for kingdom living. So you can come, please, any of these things, come and let us pray. Before we're dismissed, I want you to make your way to the front of this altar. Thank you for coming. I appreciate it so much. I want you just to quickly with me remember the McCauley family. Pat and Jim's son Bob went on to be with the Lord yesterday. They need our prayers. I want you to also remember Tristan. He leaves tomorrow morning, I understand, right? Going to Uganda for 6 months. And if you would, just reach a hand toward him. I know we prayed last week, but one more time. Father, I bless this man of God. I thank you that he is going in the power of the Holy Spirit. His steps are your steps. He's not ordinary. He's extraordinary. Now we command every profane thing to loose its hold. You shall not come against him in any way. No accidents, incidents, or mishaps about him, but the angels of God to go before him. Let him walk in divine sphere unhindered, for he is yours, Jesus. We bless Katie as well during this season. We know that you have a perfect timing and peace for everything. In Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Tonight, we'll be back at 7 p.m. We certainly would love to have you come. Here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. Bring somebody who is marginally saved. You know what I mean? Kind of one foot in, one foot out. Maybe tired of church. Maybe just fed up with the whole thing. Bring them tonight. We're going to nail the devil, right? And we're going to shoot right between the eyes. So I'm looking forward to seeing you this evening if you can make it. Otherwise, have a great, great holiday weekend. Live right, love everybody. Pray hard. See you the next time. God bless all of you.